I will ask you to stand once again in reverence for God's holy word. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the letter to the Hebrews, in the faith chapter, beginning with verse 29 of the 11th chapter, the word of the most holy God says this: "By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death, they were sawn in two, they were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented. Of those the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves, and in holes in the ground. Yet these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and taking his own seat at the right hand of God the Father." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Tom and Bill were friends, and they decided that they were going to take the long weekend and go for a hike. So they went hiking, and they, you know, took everything you need. They took backpacks, and they took, you know, their food and all this, and they were, you know, cumbered down a little bit because you don't know what you're going to need. But then, as they walked along, they came face to face with that. And they froze, because there was a mountain lion with a low growl. And they looked at the lion, and the lion looked back at them. And Bill started easing that backpack off, sliding it to the ground. And Tom said, "You don't really think you're going to be able to outrun a mountain lion, do you?" And he said, "No, but I don't have to outrun him. I just have to outrun you." The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not careful, it'll be us. Because the word of God said, all of these people who lived by faith through good times and bad times and did all these miraculous and wonderful things, these people, these wonderful people who made armies run away, who walls fell down before, these great people had unencumbered faith. Say that with me. Unencumbered faith. That's the kind of faith that we need. The kind of faith that is unencumbered. When we think of running a race, most of us think of, you know, trotting up and down,
running a race. I promised God that if I lived through basic training, I would never run again. And I've kept my word. There was nothing worse, really, than trying to run at 4:30 in the morning. It's 4:30 in the morning, and they get you up at the sound of a bugle. And the worst part of that is you end up going left, right, left, right, left, right, left, going, I should still be in bed. And you're running along, and you're thinking, okay, I got to stay in the race. I got to stay in the race. I got to stay in the race. But I really don't think that that helps us when we're thinking of this passage. I want us to think of it more like a sailboat. Think of it more like being in a regatta instead of a foot race. Because I want us to think about, in our lives, us sailing along. Sometimes we've got good weather, and sometimes we've got bad weather. Sometimes the sails just take us right along, and sometimes we get tossed about. But in this journey of life, we have been given a sailboat. And in that sailboat, we have the ability to conquer kingdoms and administer justice and do all of those things that the great and the mighty did. We have the ability to do that as long as we are unencumbered. Now, what can encumber a sailboat? Any ideas?
Too much wind.
Too much wind. Well, actually, too much wind can be a problem. But one of the worst things that happens is barnacles. Y'all know about barnacles? Barnacles actually, they will emit a cement. And they will attach themselves to the hull of the boat. And when you get more and more and more and more of them, you are so encumbered that you can barely move. Sin is like a barnacle. It encumbers you so that you get slower and slower, and your boat is harder and harder to steer. And even these great, big, huge boats, if they don't scrape off the barnacles, no matter how powerful their motor is, they can't go. With a sailboat, you have to pull that boat out of the water every once in a while and scrape off those barnacles. Sin is a barnacle. Think of it that way. Sin is a barnacle. It will slow you down. It'll make it hard to steer. It will keep you from running a smooth course. Now, you all know what sin is, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in it. If you're doing something that is degrading yourself or other people, it's a sin. If you're doing something that harms yourself or other people, it's a sin. If you're doing those things that bring shame to God, it's a sin. And you all know what that is. We don't have to go through the list. We all know, and we do it. You know, all of us are guilty. We all sin. The key is to keep the hull clean. Keep that scraped off. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse you of that, and don't let those barnacles stay there, because like barnacles, sin multiplies. If you've got one, you're going to have more. So just keep that clean. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on sin, because I want to get to the part. See, sin will slow you down, but weight has another thing that happens to your boat. What happens when you got too much weight in your boat? Too much weight, you sink. Too much weight in the boat, you sink, particularly if you are in a storm. If you're carrying too much weight in your boat and a storm hits, your chances of sinking are way more likely, right? Way more likely. So what do they do when there's a storm that comes up and they got too much stuff in the boat? What do? They throw it overboard. That's right. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the weight that we carry around that we need to be chucking off of our boat so that we are unencumbered. And the first thing we need to get rid of is our hurts and grudges. You carrying those around? That's a heavy weight hanging on to those hurts and grudges. And you're not going to get through this life without somebody hurting you. Are you? You're not going to make it. That's right. You cannot get through this life without being hurt. And if you hold on to that hurt, if you hang on to it, it's going to weigh you down. You're going to be the one that's going to suffer for it. You know, sometimes I hate to say this, but you know, some people don't really care that they hurt you. Am I right? Has anybody here, let me see a show of hands, you've been hurt by somebody who totally doesn't care that they hurt you? Yeah, that pretty much got everybody. And the rest of you just lying. Because we know that people can be mean. You know, they'll deliberately say something. They'll deliberately do something. And maybe they'll never say they were sorry. And you just hang on to that grudge. You know, oh, so-and-so, don't like them anyway. This is what they did. You rehearse it over and over in your mind. And you hold on to that grudge, and it will weigh you down. Today, throw it overboard. Toss it aside. Throw it overboard. I'm going to give you a second. You know who you are. You've got a grudge that you've been hanging on to for a long time, and what I want you to do is I just want you to wrap that up right now in a box and pitch it overboard. I'm going to give you a second. All right, is it gone? Some of y'all need more time? You might, yeah, some people are still rapping. Because, I mean, you know, some of you are holding on to more than one grudge. But wrap those things up. Toss them over. Once something's tossed overboard, it doesn't come back. It sinks, right? So toss it overboard and don't try to get it back. Another thing that'll weigh you down is your failures. If you have not failed, you have never attempted anything big. If you have not failed, you have never attempted anything big. Because anytime you try something new, you're bound to fail sometimes. And if you haven't failed, you're not really putting yourself to the test. Now, sometimes we fail and we quit. That's true failure, by the way. As long as you keep going, you have not really failed. It's only those times when you quit that you failed. You know, I've tried and tried and tried and tried, and I just can't do it, so I quit. Okay, at that point, I failed. If I try and try and try and try and I keep trying, then I have successfully discovered, you know, 412 things that don't work. That is one of the things I end up saying almost every day as I go through life. Well, that didn't work. You know, just honest, that didn't work. You know, usually it's when I drop, you know, I'm trying to carry too much and drop it all over the floor. Well, that didn't work. But every time we try to do something, you know, we're going to fail. The key is fail forward. Fail forward. You're going to mess up. Things aren't going to turn out the way you expected. And maybe it's going to be a royal flop. We talked about this in a meeting that we had on Friday. If you're going to drown in the ocean, not the bathtub. You know, if you're going to go down trying something big.
Amen.
Because if you don't fail, you don't learn. You really don't. If somebody wins all the time, they would never be able to go through life in the real world. One of the things that I think is important is let's let our kids fail. Let's let them fail. We don't want them to go through the hurt of failing, but let them attempt something that you know they're not going to be able to do. I don't mean like jumping off a roof or anything, but I'm talking about, you know, let them try something that you know they're not gifted for. I said that specifically for Mac. Mac has no fear. But think about it. We have to let them fail because we have to teach them how to deal with failure. Because it's going to happen. We are going to fail. The thing is, we got to fail forward. We've got to keep moving. If this didn't work, then we try something else. If all of us stopped the first time we failed at something, none of us would be sitting in this room today. We'd be sitting somewhere else. You know, if we stopped eating because we burnt dinner, we'd starve to death. If we stopped driving because we had a fender bender, we'd be, you know, we wouldn't be walking very far. If we quit every time we fail, we'd be stuck. Just keep moving forward. So I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to think. I'm not going to give you time to pack up all your failures because we ain't got that much time. But pack up your worst failure. I'm going to give you a minute. Pack up your worst failure, put it in the box, and chuck it overboard. I'm going to give you a minute. Okay, one, two, three, chuck it. One, two, three. There we go. Very good. All right. So, we have now gotten rid of all our hurts and grudges. We have gotten rid of all our failures. Now for the biggie. So you thought those two were big. Here is the biggest one of all. You got to get rid of your disappointments. I don't think I've ever met anyone who could tell me that their life has worked out exactly like they thought it would, or exactly the way they planned, or exactly the way they hoped it would. I don't know that person. Do you? Anybody here? Life is exactly what you would wish it to be. See, even Danny didn't raise his hand that time. And he's the most positive person I know. It is not possible to go through life without having disappointments. I've been disappointed by lots of things. I've been disappointed by other people. I have disappointed myself. I've been disappointed every once in a while with God, who didn't do what I really think he should have. And there we are. Right? We always have this thing in our mind. I think it happens when we're children and we just can't let go of it. You know, once upon a time, which ends up with happily ever after. There might be an ever after, and it may have a lot of joy, but it's not all happiness, folks. I wish it was. Be great, but it's not. There are trials in there. There are disappointments in there. My life is a good life. I love what I do. I love what I do. I love this church. I love being a part of it. You know, as whacked up as they are, I even love my family. My nephew Lynn was going to come up this weekend and be here this weekend. And at the last minute yesterday morning, he said he wasn't going to be able to make it. And, you know, I was disappointed by that. Because once you met him, you would understand why I say my family's whack. He was a fine child until my sister got a hold of him. I mean, it's just, aren't we all that way? Everybody's family is dysfunctional. The only functional family that has ever existed was on Leave It to Beaver, and that was fiction. Okay? We are disappointed. We're disappointed by so many things. The thing is, are you letting that disappointment ruin your life? Are you letting it ruin it? Are you letting the fact that things did not turn out the way you wanted them to cause you to be depressed? Cause you to be unhappy? Cause you to miss the joy that you get possible every single day? Are you missing all of that because you're disappointed that life just wasn't what you expected it to be? I'm not going to bother to give you time for your disappointments because, wow, I've been disappointed so many times. The thing is, folks, let's just do it. You know, let's just do it like this. Use your hands, make a big circle. Make a big circle, gather it all in. We're going to call this all the disappointments. We're not actually going to name them all. And one, two, three, we're going to chuck it. One, two, three, chuck it. All right. And Betty said, Ruth Ann just chucked them all on me. It's so strange, you know, but a lot of times that is what we do. We chuck our junk on somebody else. But this, no, that was just symbolic. We're not going to chuck it on somebody else. We just chucked it into the ocean. And it all just sank to the bottom. Don't let it gather. When you get a disappointment, say, okay, I'm disappointed. Yeah, take a minute to grieve. And then chuck it overboard. When you fail, say, yeah, you know, I'm really sorry that didn't work. You know, I ended up looking stupid yet once again. I fell down the same hill one time, three times in one day. I fell down the same hill three times in one day. When you've been that humiliated, it was in high school. By the time I'd made it the third time down the hill, there were people standing in the windows watching me roll down the hill. By the time you've humiliated yourself like that, nothing else bothers you. When I do something that's, you know, would be embarrassing to most people, I just say, okay, did it again. You know, it doesn't bother me anymore because I've done it so many times. I just chuck it overboard. If I stopped preaching the first time I embarrassed myself preaching, I mean, I have fallen off the chancel. Robert's kind of shoving, go back, because she's standing on the edge. I've fallen off the chancel. I was gonna use a microphone today, that kind of clips on. Wore a skirt today so I could clip it on the band of my skirt. I did that once I was wearing pants and I was trying to clip it on and I missed and dropped it down my pants. It was a real serious sermon too. It was all about sin and hell. And it really lost all of its power because I was leaning across the pulpit laughing so hard that people thought, okay, she's finally lost it. Stuff happens. At least I haven't done. A friend of mine actually fell into the grave. Oh. Yeah. I haven't done that yet. I do emphasize yet. I try really hard not to get close to the edge. I'm telling you, you're going to embarrass yourself. Just chuck it overboard. Try something big anyway. Don't worry about it. You're going to fail gloriously. Because you'll learn from it, and the next time you'll succeed. Or the time after that. Or maybe the time after that. But if you get rid of all your disappointments, failures, your hurts, and your grudges, then you are going to be sailing light and smooth on the race. You'll be able to enjoy the good times, and when those storms come up, you're going to be able to make it through. because you've scraped off the barnacles of sin and you've chucked the excess baggage. Think about it. You have a choice. You have a choice of whether or not you want to be bogged down. You have the choice of whether or not you can steer that boat. What are you going to choose today? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.